Hello, my name is Lynette Tatum, and I am going to attempt to summarize my career slash life or hobbies in a reasonable amount of time. At least I hope to, anyway. I tend to ramble, but I've listened to quite a few of the career podcasts and wanted to add my voice to them. I am 43. I just turned 43 this year, so I'm around the age of some of the folks who have submitted podcasts, and I have many of the same ideas, thoughts, values in terms of social values about technology for all and these kinds of things. And one thing I realized was that in listening to these podcasts, people are bringing up programs that I just hadn't thought about in ages. In fact, I might stop there, here rather, and write down some of them because someone mentioned Lotus DBase, and I used to use Lotus Works with the Microsoft Works program. And I liked Lotus Works a lot better than I liked Lotus, the 1-2-3. It just seemed easier to use somehow. And I think it probably helped me get a handle on working as much as I do with Excel. And I say as much as I do because I'm not an Excel fan or anything, but it is very useful. And I do have to teach it, which brings me to what I'm doing now. Maybe what I will do is start from now and work my way back. I am from Texas originally, but have lived in New York City for now 40 years, which makes me a New Yorker, I believe. And I work at the Computer Center for Visually Impaired People at Baruch College. We're in the library building of Baruch. There's a wonderful vertical campus that was actually in progress when I got to CCVIP and was completed maybe about a year or two, 2 years ago. And now our building simply houses the library and administrative offices among and a computer lab. So, what do I do at the Computer Center for Visually Impaired People? Well, I teach mainly the office programs. And the office programs, of course, as you all know, are Word, PowerPoint, Excel. I don't do Outlook. I do teach Outlook Express. And I don't teach Access, but we have other instructors who do teach Access. I learned the very basics of Access just so that I could actually put what I learned into practice in a PowerPoint presentation. So that's what I do with Access. I haven't done really anything like any queries and so forth of any depth with the program. I consider myself a fairly good Word user, but I am taking a class at the Iowa Department in order to become more of a specialist at it and hopefully to get my Microsoft certification. I hope to do that. We'll see how successful I am. I enjoy my job quite a bit. I have a good deal of autonomy there, and I'm able to pick the classes. I have brought to them, if you will, a level of freedom where they used to, let's say, the horrible word of the day is outsource. They would outsource the teaching of things like the internet, PowerPoint. Well, they never did PowerPoint until they didn't do PowerPoint until I got there. What was the other one? Excel. They would hire out for Excel. And they have all that in me, and I'm constantly trying to stay updated and have the computers updated. Now, JAWS, which is the program we use, has been sort of going along with us in progressing from, Office 97 all the way up to whatever they're up to now, 2003. We've had interesting times with JAWS. I wouldn't have minded sitting in on a window eyes class, but there, I really never thought to ask our director actually whether I could do that and whether they'd pay for it. Now, I think they probably might, but we've had so few people using Window Eyes, it seems to be a regional thing. Also, we have the Commission for the Blind here and the Commission for the Blind and Visually Handicapped. And they tend to like JAWS, at least downstate is what they call New York City, I believe. And they tend to like JAWS. And so they offer their students JAWS. They give JAWS to the students if they're either working or going to school. And so we really don't encounter too many people using Window Eyes. That is not to say that it is not a fine program. I believe that that with proper training, I'm certain I would find a whole host of features that rival JAWS in many respects. But until such time as I'm able to take a full-fledged structured course in it, we have to stick with JAWS. I've been with doing the JAWS thing or with Freedom Scientific since good old 3.0 when Eric Damry came to the lighthouse where I worked prior to working at Baruch. So I'm already going backward. And he came and he turned off the monitors on us, and we were in Windows 3.1 or 3.11. And you want to talk about trauma? I mean, some of us just, were totally freaked out. And so, but we did it, and we found yes, we can use it. Of course, there were, as there are now, there were problems then, but I could tell that this was going to be the way of the future. And at the lighthouse, I couldn't find anyone really to take the time to sit with me. Well, if you guys remember, they had these wonderful cassette tapes, the training tapes, and good old Eric was sitting down there, and he himself told us that he had taken his laptop or some computer and turned off the monitor or taken the monitor off or something, and he was simply using JAWS. And I thought that was very cool. And I to this day sometimes employ that technique with some. I had a sighted person in my class this past summer, and she did indeed turn off the monitor, and she did learn some of the JAWS quirks. So she was quite amazed, but I was pretty amazed with her bravery at doing that. You find folks who just don't want to give up the mouse, even though they can't see where it is, they can't remember the commands. We just get all types. I always say that we could probably write a little pamphlet or some book or something on the fun we've had and strange things we've seen in this in at Baruch and at in my lighthouse job. My lighthouse job, or that is Lighthouse International at 59th Street and between Park and Lexington, a huge organization that I'm certain some of you have, encountered in the past, if not simply just heard about it. I started out there as a typing teacher for high school kids. Life is a is I find it I guess it is it cyclical? Life is a cyclical thing. And the woman who hired me is now working as a consultant at CCVIP, interestingly enough. But she called me up one day at my job prior to the Lighthouse, which was Rehabilitation International. And she called me up there and she asked me, in fact, I have no idea. I think she got my number from Myrna Voda. And I know Larry, Myrna says hello and says she has spoken with you. Myrna Voda, who we call Our Lady of Perpetual Technology, who does beta testing and all kinds of all things technology, really, and has encyclopedic knowledge of devices and software, gave Barbara Fried my name, and she called me up and she asked me if I wanted to teach typing. Well, you know, it was a few extra dollars, so I said, okay, I'll do that. In my job at that was how I got started at the Lighthouse. So in my job at Rehabilitation International, I started out there as a computer specialist. Now, that was a pretty dubious title because really, I guess they didn't want to say transcriptionist, which is really what I did. I transcribed notes from the director, her letters. She would send out letter after letter after letter. It reminds me of the new Martha Stewart Apprentice show. Martha sends out a letter after every after every firing, if you will. They're not really, I guess they're letting go because they're not hired at anything yet. It's just an interview. But she sends out a letter, and this woman was a prolific letter writer, and she would dictate her letters onto a microcassette, and I would transcribe them into, oh my goodness, good old WordPerfect 5.1. Now, I go back to either 4.0 or 4.2, but I totally remember 4.2. And I remember calling my then commission counselor and saying, you know, I want to learn this package because it's the way of the day and it's the way people are going. Prior to Rehabilitation International, where I did the transcription, the director left, actually, and went on to other things, and another director came in, and by that time I was doing other things in addition to transcription. It was a fantastic time. I actually got on to bulletin board services, and I belonged to or bought something called Blue Wave, which allowed me to get messages from a place called the Bat Cave that was being hosted by a Steve Matsura, who some of you might also know, I don't know. But I enjoyed that, though. I was getting email. So that's where I actually met a friend of mine, and we're back in contact now. We sort of separated, but now we're back in contact. And I met her, I do believe, on the bulletin board services. And I say, you know, that people who surf the web now don't have any idea what the web was like back then. It was just text and numbers. And, you know, for those of you who remember. And then I remember them bringing in something called links. And since I am a partially sighted person, I can tell you that the screen was formerly black with grayish letters, at least mine was. And then when they brought in these links were in a kind of a white highlighted form. Well, I didn't really know how to access these links. I mean, we were flying by the seat of our pants back then with the internet, such as it was. And I was getting in through Rutgers University. As many of you will probably remember, that's how the internet sort of it was really an education thing in the universities. And so it was a totally different animal. But occasionally you would find a gem. And I did. And some interesting articles and so forth. Things were pretty boring back then, though, because you had a lot of stuff on rehabilitation and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, from there, I can even remember my first computer was a PS2 Model 30. Hello, Maria. Hi. Maria's my roommate, hi. And you'll hear me mention her. Say hi again.
Hi.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm using SoundForge, and I hit the Enter key, which puts you into the sound, and I didn't want to do that, so I have to just... I got to the end. I like that I can use Control End, which is a beloved key, you know, to get us to the end of anything, and go to the end of the sound file and then just record again. I do Control R and Space Bar. So it is my inclination to teach. I think I teach all the time. And I, speaking of teaching, as I'm walking backward through my history, again, Baruch, Rehabilitation International, no, I'm sorry, the Lighthouse Rehabilitation International. I was talking about the internet and what it was, and my computer, which was a PS2 Model 30. I thought I was doing well back then. We had the old IBM printer and so forth, and we were smoking. And with every piece of technology and every advance and so forth, I mean, I've tried to kind of walk along. I remember hearing someone say in one of the podcasts, and I think it was Mr. Grabowski, I think whose name is Chris, said he hated Windows. I think he said that, and I did too. And if I'm attributing it to the wrong person, please excuse me. But someone in did say that they just did not want to move towards Windows, and I was one of those people, but I had to. So I did. I didn't have to do that though until I got to the Lighthouse. So I'm still back in the DOS days, and here's a little bit of my philosophy. I'm taking a page from Mr. Cross, from Australia. I think it's Tim, but I don't want to give him the wrong name. I think those of us who kind of started in the late 80s and so forth, whether we were programmers or whatever we were doing, have it so much better than today's folks who are just learning computers. They don't have the history. I want to say, in not such a great way, there's no way for me to say it, but I guess the nicest way for me to put it is that we had to think. We actually memorized word perfect commands. Every key had a corresponding command, and you're talking about the key by itself, and I don't know if anybody except me remembers this chart or the help had a little diagram, and it started with, let's say, F2, because I might be able to remember those commands. I think F2 was search, and then you had Shift F2 did, I don't know, search in reverse or whatever. Control F2 did something and Alt F2 did something. See, I didn't remember them all. But I mean, you actually memorize them because you use these commands on a regular basis. When the GUI came in, it took away that thinking. And I don't know. I mean, I laughed when I saw something about critical thinking in college. I said, critical thinking? What do you mean you're teaching critical thinking? Teaching people how to think, and I guess, somewhat snobbishly, I do admit that one, I'm glad I got into technology when I did, because I think it gave me a good brain. I am on the opposite end. I am the end user, I guess, and my students are the end users. I don't necessarily need, probably, or want to know how it works. I know Mr. Cross said something like that. I have to teach it, and if I were to become a programmer, which is something I played with, but really was never guided in that direction and didn't know how to start, then of course I want to know how it works. I thought I could build a better word processor that actually tells my students, save your document or spell check now or something, like a little kids program that, sort of has a friendly voice. So Texas Instruments used to be very good at this, and now they have others. I think they're we got my niece the Leapster program, and there's the Leapfrog and all of these things. And my niece has the cutest program where you a little thing we bought that you press a letter, and there are so many things you can do. You can It talks, each letter speaks, and you make music and all of these type things, and it's a great learning tool. I would love to have something like that in, let's say, in word form, where people could learn word on the go. Maybe have a little handheld device that says, you know, that gives a little tutorial in a human voice or human sounding voice. It shows, you know, as I said, I'm into teaching, and anything that can help make my life easier, I'm ready to do. Back to the Rehab International. I was there for, I believe, 4 years. I was at the Lighthouse 5 years, 6 months, and I've been at Baruch for 5 years, since 2000. Prior to that, I started the whole darn thing off by working at the Immigration and Naturalization Service, here again in New York City, 26 Federal Plaza, just far enough away from our beloved World Trade Centers. They were, however, in distance, but not really so much within my, I could not see them from my window, but whenever I had to do anything in that area, for instance, go to court duty or something, I would use the towers as my guideline. I knew if we were going towards the towers, we were going in the right direction if we were supposed to be going downtown. Now, that leads me to the many interviews on which I subjected myself, or on which I was subjected. I got into a company called Just One Break. And honestly, I wanted to break something, but they sent me on numerous interviews, and one of the interviews was indeed at the World Trade Center on I think it was Shearson Lehman, and I believe they were going to be on 104. But my typing was so bad, I could not do their ordinary typing test. So I had some lyrics to a Barbra Streisand song, and I actually typed those. Well, the lovely lady took one look at my typing and just said, you know what, thanks, but no thanks, pretty much. Also, I went to the World Trade Center. And I do believe it was there that I went. And Maria also accompanied me to take my civil service test, which I also did not do well on. I made too many errors in my typing. And we're talking about typing on an electric typewriter, I think, without correction. And this actually takes me back a few steps to my days at Immigration and Naturalization Service. Thank God I was using a computer at that point, and that had, you know, spell checking and so forth. But I got that job through the Jewish Guild for the Blind, which is here on 65th Street, again in Manhattan. Most of my life has been spent in Manhattan. I've only ever worked in Manhattan. I lived in the Bronx when we were tiny with my mom and my sister, but we moved to Manhattan, and most of my life really began here. So I went to the Jewish Guild and learned something called transcription typing, and was indeed in a course called transcription typing. And good grief, we started on, if my memory can, you know, serves me correctly here, I started with the Lexitron word processor, which did not speak. It was this huge thing, a behemoth, really, and I couldn't figure out how to spell check. I don't even know if it had a spell checker. It had a printer attached. And I worked on that. That kind of stunk because there was, you know, there was no talking or anything. The screen was small. And then from there, we went to personal computers, a good old PC. And we were doing what we used to call then IBM clones. They might indeed have been the real IBM, for all I know. What I think they did was we worked with the real IBMs at the school or in the classroom. And then they would give us, you know, NEC computers and what all other computers they were giving at the time. But they did happen to give me an IBM PC with the real name IBM. And we learned how to, that was an interesting experience, when we used something called the Writing Assistant, We used the writing assistant and Easy Writer. Easy Writer was really horrible. And there was WordStar. And WordStar was right on a par with WordPerfect. But for some reason, we didn't get into WordStar. And we did get into WordPerfect later on in my training. Writing assistant and Easy Writer were nightmares in that you would just lose your documents without any, you know. It had a menu that save document, print document, open document, and I think that was about it. And you'd go back to your document. Well, you'd try. You'd go to open document. You'd, you know, look through the list, and for some reason, you didn't have a document there. But this was still a step up for me from the non-correcting Selectric typewriter that I started on. And then I went to a correcting Selectric. I wasn't very good at correcting, I must say, with the little piece of tape or whatever that you were supposed to do with it or something. And I also had a correcting typewriter that was not a Selectric. That thing was such, oh my God, it was so heavy. At least it was heavy to me back then. And my clock is going off. And so anything that was, you know, making corrections for me, I loved, because as I tell my students, you know, I did letter upon letter upon letter upon letter, and I got redo from my supervisor or from my teacher. And I thank her today. I cried then, but I thank her today because it made me, I think it made me a more accurate person in the long run. She made us produce mailable transcripts. And when I see the work that's put out today, the work in email, the writing in email, I'm just appalled. I actually learned more about grammar or language skills, if you will, from that course, word usage and things like that. And we just did it through letters and drills, and we'd sit around and have a lesson, and it was really a phenomenal experience, one that needs to be repeated. Today people need the entire experience. It's not enough to be able to point and click. You've got to be able to write. You have to be able to put thoughts together. I'm a better writer than I am speaker any day, which is why you hear a lot of ums, and so please forgive me. But I'm very grateful. I took some computer courses with two folks, Bob and Mindy, for free. And once I got into computers, I loved them. I loved cheating with them, using them in the class to go over spelling mistakes before we handed them in. I am no saint, and I don't pass myself off as one. I had a great time, and I have enjoyed my computer ride. My first computer was given to me by the commission. Second computer I got from a grant. Third computer I bought outright, and all of the other computers since when I couldn't afford to buy one outright, someone gave me a computer, which worked beautifully for me for quite a while. I gave that one away, bought my next computer, and now I have a desktop and a laptop. So my computers are my life. They have my hobbies are listening to music, burning CDs, now listening to podcasts, reading. I'm an avid reader. I don't know how I find time. I'm always complaining that there just aren't enough hours in the day. One thing I love about my current job are my hours. I work 4 days a week. I finagled that schedule myself because I only owe them 25 hours of teaching time. And I said, okay, well, then I can do other things. So now that I'm teaching, I try to stay away from teaching on Saturdays, but I couldn't get away from it. Just until the holidays. So I told her, could you make it so that we can start early enough so that we can finish before Thanksgiving? And then I would have all that time and wouldn't have to work any Saturdays during the holiday months. So I have Mondays and Fridays off now. I generally have Fridays off. And as I mentioned, I will be taking another course through the Iowa Department for the Blind. I took a course this summer for 12 weeks, crazy me, on distance learning. And because we don't know about this world we live in today, it may be something that I might use, a skill that I might need in the future, and I will then have it. I'm taking a word course, as I told you, and I plan to try, judging by my performance in this word course, I hope to take PowerPoint and Excel and try to get certified in those. I think that one can never become complacent. One always has to work. I was in and out of college. I started as a voice major. Perhaps in later podcasts, I will play a song or two of my own, as did another person, which was very cool. And I went to college while I was going to work, and I did very well. I went to college the first time around, didn't know what I wanted to do, was too young. Again, was a voice major, dropped out. Went back to school as a consequence of my job. They said you have to get a degree, blah, 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 blah. So I did that until I got my new job. And now I'm going to take courses that interest me. I figure I'm in my 40s now. I have a job. If I am fortunate and smart enough to become certified, I hope to be able to at least peddle my wares somewhere. So that's really where I am in life. If I've forgotten anything, I've just forgotten it. I've tried to put some of the more important points together. So I hope you've enjoyed it. You can email me at superlynn, and that's SUPERLYNNE, at earthlink.net. Or you can, actually, I don't have a phone number that you can call. I don't have a line or anything. So, and I've got to learn how to do these podcasts. Right now, this is so far going to be turned into an MP3 file, and I'm going to attempt to put it on a diet by using Diet MP3. And for those of you who don't know what that program is, it is an application that compresses even further your MP3 files. So I'm going to try to do that. And it'll still probably be large. So that's all for now. This is Lynette signing out. Again, my email address is superlynne, SUPERLYNNE, at earthlink.net. Have a great one, folks.